KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. Oh, man, Corey Majors.
What's up?
And the famous Alec Medford. Do you guys believe the star scoring will pick up, or is Ottinger going to have to steal this series? You know, like randomly, just give me cuts 3, 4, or 5. I'll let you pick, and maybe it'll be a star goal.
Bouchard steps into one that got deflected and wound up in the net. A power play goal for Edmonton. Looked like Ryan Nugent Hopkins had the last touch of that one. And a 1-0 Oilers lead, less than 6 minutes gone by.
There aren't any stars goals on our sheet today,
Kevin.
You
know why? Because in games 2 and 3, you got outscored 9-1. And I'm not going to play that one goal when you got outscored 9-1.
What about the empty netter? You going to play that one?
Those hurt, dude. It just hurts because you're sitting there battling as best you can. What is the percentage on that, by the way? Does anybody have a number on percentage of like how often it works versus how often it fails? And
you 8 to 10%. I don't know.
Kick a 70-yard field goal.
Yeah,
you know, and what's the percentage of that working versus the percentage of that thing, you know, missing, or a Hail Mary?
Right.
You know, like do that instead of a Hail Mary. I'd like to know the numbers.
Okay,
it's on you.
I'll wait. I need to go look that into that. All right, I'll see what I can do.
You and numbers have a great relationship. Everybody knows that.
I do like numbers. So my question, and let's assume these are the two logical spinoffs in this series. Do you think that the Stars can pick up their scoring, or are you viewing this as a Rangers style offense right now and you're going to need Ottinger to steal a series?
I mean, we've seen them light up the scoreboard. We have seen them do that, and they are probably, I want to say conservative, but at the same time I watch them play and they're not the fastest team. So a lot of times when I'm like, oh, that should have been a breakout, like that should have been, they didn't have the skates to actually do that,
right?
Or the ability to get away on that one. So sometimes I do think that they're just a team that you need to rely on to play good, steady defense, have good net minding, and you're probably going to give up a goal or two. And they are opportunistic offensively. They've been that way all season long. You lose the puck in front of the net, the Stars have been putting it home.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, one of the things going in late there was the scores always looked good. But as Heike told us and Brian Ray, they were like, but it is because they have good finishers. So whenever this happens in the regular season, it will happen more often. Well, then everything tightens up whenever you get in the playoffs. I think they can not be that team and outscore, but I don't want to be in a race like that against Edmonton. I want to keep the score low against them.
So the Stars have 15 skaters with a negative plus minus. The only three with a positive are Leon Bischel, Rupe Hintz, and Sam Steele. They're all a plus one.
Okay.
And then let's go to the opposite side. Wyatt Johnston is minus 17. The next closest is Matt Duchene at minus 13. And here's the part that really hurts. No one else in all of the NHL is in negative double digits in the playoffs.
So you got two players.
Yeah, and it's both of your players who lead by a wide margin. All right, so that's problematic.
That's tough.
But we talked in the opening or the second segment about your 5-on-5 hockey. Dallas has been outscored 31-23 in the playoffs thus far in 5-on-5 hockey.
All right.
And so while we have loved most of the elements of the power play, most of the elements of the penalty kill, obviously logic would let you know that the majority of play in pretty much every single game is going to be 5-on-5. And that is not working in the Stars' advantage thus far.
Yeah, and I mean, how did they win the one game where they came back? It was lots of penalties.
Power play.
Lots of power plays were put in their favor. And so they got that advantage. And you can't rely on that.
Like
I mean, hell, go back to game 7. One penalty was called the whole game.
Yeah.
So you can't rely on, hey, we're going to get these 5-on-4 situations. And you also can't put yourself in 5-on-3 situations against Edmonton. Like, that's just not a good, that's not going to work out for you anyway, shape, or form. I can't, Kevin, tell you that we're just going to magically fix the 5-on-5 here this late in the season in the playoffs. I can't say that DeBoer's like, no, I got it all figured out, like, for this one. But they are going to have to find ways to limit the amount of goals. So when the occasions do come up and they are on a power play, they can take advantage of that because that's what they're good at.
So then the question must be asked, will this have to be in a series that Ottinger is going to steal? All right. Obviously, last game did not go particularly well, especially in that last period a little bit and change. But Ottinger, go back to how he's progressed, even inside each playoff series. In the first two rounds, Ottinger had a league-high 8 wins with a .919 save percentage and a 2.47 goals against average. But what you really hope you see is the Ottinger step up from the Winnipeg series, all right? Games 1-3 against Winnipeg, save percentage .914. Games 4-6, .944. So that is a major jump up. Goals against average, 2.36. That'll still usually get it done for you. Games 4-6, 1.68.
It's not good. No, that's really good.
Yes. I was about to say, wow. Yeah. Corey, you do have high standards. I like it.
I need a 0.1.
So you saw him progress significantly in the back half of the Winnipeg series. And obviously you're hoping you're going to see the same thing here. And then if you need just a little bit of extra confidence for tonight. All right. Ottinger, 26 years old. He's already played 60 playoff games.
That's a lot.
It is. It really is.
Especially when, hitting on him as a draft pick is pretty special.
Yes.
That's a pretty awesome thing. But knowing that he got into the game so early in his career, that you have that number there on this competitive of a team is a pretty significant deal.
And so potentially really positive news for people after a loss in the playoffs, although I know you could argue, hey, isn't that what happened in game 3? Fair point. After a loss in the playoffs, Otter is 18-7. So a lot of positives from that perspective. Somebody asked this question, and I have wanted to talk about this for a couple of weeks now. What has happened to Rantanen? He was a beast in the first rounds, and now he's basically non-existent.
Can I touch on Otter first?
Sure.
I think tonight he has to steal it. Now, the series, okay. I don't think that he has to steal the series, but I think he has to steal one from them tonight. They need home ice back.
Yeah.
And he needs to go out there and shut the door and say it's not happening tonight because there are going to be, as I've been talking about all day, there are going to be a lot of opportunities for McDavid to come right at him and have a little bit of a different look at him. So I think tonight he's going to have to be as sharp as he's ever been for this game specifically because his team needs him to put them in a better position for when they come back home. And so that's one. When it comes to Rantanen and Kevin, I'm with you. I think that Edmonton's done a really good job. They've done a really good job of making sure that they're not giving him easy opportunities. And that being said, some of the shots have just missed, and that's frustrating too, but it doesn't feel like this team is, there are two things that are consistent with the Stars. One, they're not physical enough until called upon and they don't put up enough shots for whatever reason to make you feel very good.
Now for Rantanen, and I'm glad somebody texted this question in to ask it. The whole reason that he's not on Connor McDavid's level is he will disappear in a game on you.
Yep.
And he will disappear in multiple games. And that is that's just what comes along with the Mikko Rantanen experience.
He does, you watch him, he's doing the small things. Sure. It's just not the game-changing net thing that you are expecting of him.
And so you'll get that run of game 6, game 7, and then going into the Winnipeg series game 1, where you're just like, obviously this is the best player in the world. And then I know in game 3, he was phenomenal as well. But you'll also see plenty of games where he disappears. And that is just... that's just part of the deal that comes along with Rantanen. Now, you said he'll need to, but my question for you guys now is, will it happen? Do you believe that the Stars are going to win tonight? It's not a must win, but obviously being at a 3-1 deficit, not so great.
Pivotal is the word I would use.
All right.
I'm serious when I say that, too, because pivotal. I really do not want to go down another game. That would be terrifying against the talent and really just Connor McDavid alone, let alone the 3 or 4 other, incredible playmakers that they have. I do think that they have a chance, but It's going to require somebody like Miko Rantanen stepping up, which it felt like the one time he really went off and exploded for you in this playoff run so far, you really needed it. You know, you were down a couple of your big playmakers. You were dealing
with... All hope was lost, right?
It felt like things were just going every which way away from the way that you wanted it to go as a Dallas Stars fan, but he said, you know what? I'll do it myself. I don't care. And he was otherworldly. If we get some sort of performance like that, it doesn't have to be him. It could be Leon Bischel if he wants to show up and just dominate on the boards and then say, hey, I'll score three times myself and we'll win the game.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like one person is going to have to do the heavy lifting, which that's what scares me here.
Otter's doing that tonight, Kevin. Otter, I believe Otter is going to go in there and he's going to have his eyes locked in on this sucker. And I do believe that they're going to have a different plan for tonight based on what they, you know, what they learned from the line change last night. And the last couple of games, they just haven't been themselves. Like, I think that they're all looking at themselves right now saying, we didn't play our hockey. We let them push us around and we're not going to do that tonight. And also, they got to go in there and really stick Corey Perry in the throat at some point. To, like, I'm not saying, you know, injure this guy, but get him to fight you and get kicked out, you know? Do something like that.
Now, I see a couple of people singling out Jamie Benn and Jason Robertson. So I'm more in the Jason Robertson needs to step it up crew because I think Jamie Benn is doing the best he can with his diminished skill set. Like, I hope that doesn't hurt anybody's feelings. I think we're just looking at what it is. Is the biggest contribution he can truly bring to this team is upping their physical presence. Not saying he can't score now and again, but you've already seen lengthy scoreless streaks from him this season. And I think it's his physicality that the Stars need more than his ability to help set up a goal.
Yeah, finish his checks, man. Go in there and actually do that part of it and be that guy that everybody knows he's coming into this corner. I'm going to get hit right now. Kevin, when it comes to Robertson,
that's a totally different deal.
I feel like I've told you for 2.5 years what he is as a player and what the reality of him is in the postseason. Until he takes another step there, I can't wait for him to be like, oh man, I need Robertson, because at this point, he's a guy on the team. The rest of there are some other guys that are far superior players to what he is in the playoffs. They need to do their thing. They gotta be whistling and doing all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Robertson is what he is until there's something new that shows up for him in the playoffs. And that is a guy who's got a really good brain, but not the legs or the body to fight in the playoffs.
See, and it's such a shame too, because I think 2 years ago he showed he can be way more than just a guy in the playoffs. Like, he was helping lead the charge against Vegas that obviously didn't turn out to be super helpful. But last year, outside of the, I think he had a hat trick against Edmonton. Outside of that, this is fairly run of the mill, and it does feel like it's trending in that direction where his game does not translate as well to the playoffs, and that's unfortunate. Whether you think it's Austin Matthews syndrome or whatever else, it's unfortunate that that's been the case. Because 2 years ago, I really thought you had seen the playoff breakout for him.
He was going to become that. It just seemed like he gets in there and you see it. You see the reality with him.
Yeah, and you're like, hey, maybe now is the time.
But I'm hoping. I'm hoping.
Right. I'll put in the call one more time. Tonight's night. Robo going to score two goals.
Two goals. So if you're looking to make a play on Underdog today.
That's right.
Kevin is saying if it's at 1.5, take the over.
Yeah, by the way, Robertson. I can guarantee you at best it's at half. So yeah, go ahead and you know what? I think I'm going to make that play right now.
Look at that.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, which one of the next DFW champions do you think will affect you more and that team longer? Plus wanker of the holiday weekend, and maybe we talk some college sports. All of it next right here on The Fan.
Two balls, two strikes. Spores kicks and fires. He struck him out looking. It's over. It's over. The Rangers have won the World Series. Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
God, I will never,
good times,
ever, ever get tired of hearing that.
Me either. Thank you, Eric Nadel, for giving us that glorious moment.
And fighting so much for mental health.
Yeah.
Go check out his concert for the Grant Halliburton Foundation. All right. So, Corey, you asked this question off air a little bit ago, and we've been meaning to dive into it. So there's a couple of different parts to this. Which one of the next DFW team championships do you think will affect you personally more, affect the team and their fan base more? So there's a few different directions with this. Obviously, we hope we'll find out in, what, like 3 weeks when the Stars have the cup? And you're like, hey, that's great.
And we're partying and drinking out of it.
Exactly. So this is also the time when I give you the conference finals appearances since 2000 for our DFW teams.
Okay, hold on. What teams first?
Cowboys.
Cowboys. Conference final appearance last time?
Zero since 2000. None since 2000.
So we're 25 years in a row.
Yeah, and there's extra five before that.
All right.
The Rangers, though, they've been to the conference finals or better 3 times. The Mavs, 5 times. And the Stars, 6 times.
Stars are the best team in DFW.
I mean, the evidence in front of you would argue that.
So what you're telling me then is Cowboys fans need it. Cowboys fans deserve to have a conference final championship game. Maybe not even host it, just be in one.
So
Cowboys fans deserve it because they have zero in all this time.
Yes, that's true. So I thought about your question.
Yeah.
And I broke it down 3 different ways. Which team needs it the most? Which fan base would benefit from it the longest? And what do I want? All right?
Okay.
So the team that would benefit from it the most, like you said, it's obviously the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I mean, like, hey, the Stars. I mean, if you can win a championship, that's a different deal. Because while we talk about this, Stars, Mavs, and Rangers, 14 times since 2000, they've been in the conference finals. Each team has one title. Or I guess the Stars have no titles, actually.
The with the Stars, Kevin, a championship would definitely, I'm not saying it turns it into a hockey town, but it definitely would sit well with, dude, they're also going to be good next year. And they're also going to be good probably for the next 5 years. They're going to be a competitive team right there. So having the cup and then knowing that your team's in this conversation every year for the next 5 years feels like they would benefit huge from this.
Would you see the possibility, Alec, I want to get your thoughts on this as well. Would you see the possibility for the Stars to long-term surpass the Mavs as the number 3 option here? In the DFW,
if they won, if they won one championship?
If they win at least one, okay. And then we'll see what happens after that.
They are neck and neck, aren't they?
I think they've gotten a lot closer with the Mavs.
And this year obviously changed that a lot.
Yes.
You know,
for sure.
The whole, but now the Cooper Flagg thing is going to re-intrigue people again. If they select him, again, I do not have faith that they are going to make the right selection. Okay? Just don't. But if they select him, I think the intrigue in the Mavericks will be back, but can they be in the competitive? That's where everybody really, you know, clings on to these teams is if they're competitive in the playoffs and the Mavericks, that's a long season. A lot of things could happen. Anthony Davis could be out for 60 games.
Right.
Kyrie could be out for 60 games. Like we're really looking at something like that. So I think that the Stars could usurp them.
I'm glad that you said that because I'm intrigued by this, Alec, because I think for a minute, the hierarchy has been pretty defined in DFW in terms of Cowboys 1, Rangers 2, Mavericks 3, Stars 4. Now, keep in mind, this has nothing to do with team success because you could argue it might be the exact opposite of that, just in terms of the fan base and what moves the city. So could you see, let's say the Stars win this cup, and then, as Corey said, they'll be in the mix, you'd think, for
Brandon's
a while.
Here for the next 8 years?
Yeah, that's correct.
Wyatt's young, Otter's young.
Exactly.
I think the Stars were on that trajectory. Okay. And then it got ruined by the Mavericks winning the draft lottery.
Yeah.
I seriously think that ruined it. Whether or not they make the pick, whether or not they keep the pick, I think that ruined it for the short-term future, because I 100% believe they are going to take Cooper Flagg. But, you know, in a world where they did trade it for Giannis or they did trade it for a Kevin Durant, it would still be big enough news to where people are going to say, hold on, I got to see how this mess ends up working out or not working out. I think people would just be naturally more interested in that because it's sexier. You know, movement and headline moves like that, in a weird way, are more intriguing than any kind of championship run for a lower tier team. You know, putting it respectfully, because I'm more intrigued in the Dallas Stars right now than I am the Mavericks, but I don't think the rest of the market is. So, yeah, I think getting that pick really ruined it for the Stars.
From the 817, see, I don't agree with this at all. Cowboys fans don't deserve S. Man, I know that there is a small faction of Cowboys fans that is by far the loudest about how the Cowboys are still the best because they have five championships and blah, 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 blah. I think there's a lot of Cowboys fans, like maybe all three of us, that have put up with a lot of crap and have supported the team because you love the Cowboys growing up and you desperately want them to be good, but you don't go around telling everybody how they're the best at football, because obviously
But if they won, we would.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if they won, I would be obnoxious. Yeah. You would not want to be around me, Eagles fans.
Yeah, because Eagles fans did everything so right. Like, take this, you know, police horse, but you... Like, that's a real thing that happened, and they had to grease up the poles because they knew a bunch of morons were going to try to climb up them. So let's not pretend that people who win championships aren't intolerable as well. I know there is a section of the Cowboys fan base that is the worst because they just want to tell you how good they used to be at football. It's kind of like the University of Texas. Like, hey, we used to win. What about now? Well, you know what? Don't worry about it. We're really close sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
Texas Tech has never been good.
Exactly, except at college softball.
Yeah, they're very
good. And then they're
going
to go to the World Series for the first time and in your face. Whereas A&M, our coping mechanism was to make up some championships. And then most of us just realize our place in life. Like, as an A&M person, I realize where we sit in the hierarchy. And I am not one of those vocal people who is like, we run this state. And I'm like, at what?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
Somebody did say, speaking of names that I'm starting to hate, Nugent Hopkins, pick a name. And I agree with you. Just go with the last one. That's the last name, Hopkins.
Okay. I did not expect to
get
that, but
Shea,
all right.
Like, just Shea. Like, do we call him Alexander or just Shea? We call him Shea.
What?
Okay, but too many names.
All right.
Gilgis Alex. It's a lot of names.
All right.
Take that, Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yeah.
If
what did we call him? Dodo. And he hated that.
You asked Adrian to marry you. And she said yes, but she said, I'm going to hyphenate my name.
No, you're not.
I like it. What if she said that I'm not marrying you?
Okay.
Oh, man.
See how your life is without me.
Oh, my God. I like the idea.
It probably would have been a lot better.
I like the idea that every person Corey ever broke up with, he ended it by saying, let's see how your life is without me.
Good luck to you.
My wife is stupid.
Hey, all right. I do have a conversation about that one, by the way.
Oh,
now there's a request that's been asked.
The fan base that I think would benefit from it the most.
If you say the Rangers, I'm going to lose it. Because the Rangers fans got the World Series, loved it, and then the next year, it was kind of like the Mavericks after they won. We were just like, this isn't the same team.
Yes.
But they do deserve it. Rangers fans definitely do need more of that because it was such a weird thing to pop up out of nowhere like it did.
But I think it would impact the Mavs as an organization longer. Because like you just said, Cowboys
fans,
they
collect a lot of new fans.
You know what? You're right. Because Cowboys fans, it kind of feels like, you know the deal. I know that I'm one of these Cowboys fans. You get treated like garbage, but you hope your hometown team just turns it around and magically we end up winning. But even if you don't, we're probably still here. the Stars, they have consistently been good enough to overcome that stigma of not having won a cup in 26 years. By the way, that's what the number is. It's been 26 years since the Stars won a cup, but they're always actually close as opposed to the Cowboys, who are make-believe close. And then there's the Mavericks. So you got your championship. You had your all-time iconic DFW player. He retired, and immediately, and there was a season of crossover, you had his replacement. He was your guy, Luka, all time.
Torch, pass.
I think if Cooper Flagg came in and you were able to win a championship, all of those lovey-dovey feelings would immediately be back, not for everyone, but for most Mavs fans, because they'd be like, here's another guy. Who cares if the NBA rigged it? We won. Our guy, you know, Luka was your guy, but he's not anymore. He's never going to be again. He said he doesn't even want to live in Texas. But if Cooper Flagg came here and you won a championship, then I think a lot of people in the Mavs fan base would be like, all right, I'm back in for good because we lost Luka, but we got Cooper, and that's my guy that I can root for 12 years or whatever.
And I know a lot of people are, because Luka's gone, they're out on the Mavericks and everything.
Sure.
But that team right there might be the closest to it. I know the Stars are like literally closer to it right now. But for Cooper Flagg, he doesn't have to walk into a franchise and save it.
Sure.
He's walking into a franchise that has a lot of veteran talent on it. And all he really has to do is fit in. Just fit in and just be one of those dudes that balls.
Yeah,
and that team can be very successful. They have a championship caliber coach. They have a couple of different guys that have won championships, and they have a very good defense built. But it's just not there yet. He doesn't have to come in and do anything wild. He can just come in and grow and develop, and then again, he can win that championship. And then those guys, those veterans around him, don't have to be around forever. But Cooper Flagg is now the tent pole that you put everything else around. He's the one, and you have, and he's got the championship. Plus, now he gets to go chase one with another. I see what you're saying there, man. That the Mavericks, definitely their fan base would be regrown, because I don't think you're going to get some of those people back, but you're going to get new fans along the way.
And then, my personal preference, it would be for the Cowboys to win it all. Like, that would be the next championship I want to see after we win the Stanley Cup. No, but seriously, that's been the longest one. Like, there was a long time in my life I thought I would never get to see the Mavs win the title. And then you saw it, and it was freaking magical. And it's the same thing with the Rangers. An even longer time, I really thought we might not ever get to see that championship. And you're seeing more and more, like, kind of what a one-off that might have been. The Stars and the Cowboys have the longest droughts here in DFW in terms of actually winning it all. People would be so pumped about the Stars. I don't think people understand how this whole Metroplex would just be taken over by the Cowboys in the Super Bowl, by the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl. Like, it's a different level. The Stars could be up 3-0 in the Stanley Cup Final and 5-0 in the third period, and I would be so stoked, and people would be so excited. If the Cowboys made it to the Super Bowl, that would be all that controlled this Metroplex. And that's a fact.
There wouldn't be another topic on this station for the entire 2 weeks that lead up to the Super Bowl at all. There would be no other conversation from anybody. And nobody would want anything else. There wouldn't be a single person that would hop on the fan text and go, can we talk about something else, please? No. They would only want to talk about what is happening with the Cowboys. Who's KNC interviewing today? Because that would be that part of the conversation, too. No, you're right, man. It would be the big, I don't know if the city's ready for it. I don't know if DFW, honestly, it would be ready for something like that, because it would be out of nowhere for one, for this team. That would be a very big surprise.
Sure.
But Kevin, if you were watching them and you're like, oh man, they're really building something right now. And it's not just a one-off. Like, this thing could be a contender. That would gain even more steam for the Cowboys too.
I think that's a great point too, because for the Stars, hey, let's say the Stars win the Stanley Cup. Could you see that? Yeah, I could, because they were in the Stanley Cup Final in 2020 and the last 3 years, and they were in the Western Conference Final. The Cowboys haven't even gotten to the game that gets you to the Super Bowl. And so if you were there, there's an entire generation, even more than that, of people listening to our show right now that are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Whenever people run their mouths about how great the Cowboys used to be, I have no idea what you're saying. Because that context, I've never seen it. And so that's kind of how I would break it down. What do you guys think in terms of, like, Do you think it is the Cowboys that obviously would make the biggest impact if they won the championship?
Because they have more fans than anybody.
Yeah.
Like the most amount of people are going to be excited. And then there's the people that are that hate the Cowboys that would also be excited because now they can continue to hate it at a different level.
Sure.
And again, move the goalposts just a little bit. I saw 700,000 fans show up for the Rangers championship.
Yeah.
Parade.
That was one of the greatest days of my life.
Alec was there. We got him in there as well. That place was packed. Kevin, if it was the Cowboys, it would be over 700,000.
It would be at least 1.5 million, I'd be willing to wager.
For me, I want another Rangers World Series. That's the one that I want. I think would not only affect my personal life because we have the Rangers on the station, and that would be awesome. You know,
for sure.
We're interviewing Bochy. Like, that's a personal thing there too. But just because right now you have something special pitching-wise, they've invested in it. They did that. Like, there's a lot of things that I'd like to see happen again. I just don't know with baseball being the way that it is already fickle. I just don't know when we might get another shot at it. So I'd absolutely love that. For the team impact, I'm with you. I think the Stars, though, Kevin, I think the Stars would be impacted even more team-wise.
I'm intrigued by the idea that they could move up in the hierarchy of DFW sports.
I think that because they are going to be good for a while, like they are built to be good for a little bit.
Now, obviously, he said if they win. Quick Stars question. Hopefully they win tonight and they win
Joseph
the next
Randall
two.
Randall story for you.
Doesn't even matter. Do you think there's going to be any, like, I don't know, Stars pushback? Let's say if they get wiped out in this round, do you think the regular season is going to get to a point for a lot of Stars fans where they're like, neat, don't care? Hit me in the playoffs.
Man.
I'm just asking.
It should happen. It does happen every team.
For sure.
Well, you guys, look at Buffalo.
For sure.
As intense as Buffalo fans are, the fact that Buffalo doesn't win is frustrating the hell out of them up there.
If you ever saw the Four Falls of Buffalo, outstanding 30 for 30, they get to that fourth straight Super Bowl and that rematch with the Cowboys. It is so weird listening to all of the talking heads and the fans being like, we just knew we were going to lose anyway. And I was like, they were in the Super Bowl. And they're like, well, we're obviously not going to win.
Yeah, so like they definitely could take that perspective. I know some people were frustrated the last couple seasons already at this point, and I get excited every time. I will say, I think though, Kevin, there are so many casual Stars fans that join in at playoff time that they just kind of bounce away from it, and they're like, oh man, that was a fun 4 weeks, a fun couple months that I spent watching this team, and then they come back the next year around for playoffs. Regular season-wise, though, that's season ticket holders. They're intense. They're packed at it. They're going to be there no matter what. But I think the Stars have more casuals because of their success in the playoffs.
For sure. Now, oh, man, this is a tough question. What's the better bet? Cowboys make the NFC Championship or Luka returns to the Mavericks?
Jesus comes back. Oh, hold on.
That might be my vote. I guess the Cowboys.
Luka's not coming back.
Yeah, and that's the thing. But I also sometimes feel like the Cowboys aren't making it to that game.
But
well, they could.
Like, I just don't.
Maybe.
Man, possibly. The only way I could see Luka coming back is if he got traded back here. It's like, that's in my mind. There's like, his brain is, no, I'm just going to spend the rest of my career trying to embarrass that team. That's what he did on the court.
Yeah, he did.
He tried to embarrass everybody. That was the most fun thing to watch him was he was trying to embarrass you on the court, make you feel bad about the way you play basketball. And usually he did.
Yeah, absolutely.
He felt good.
With the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And we got Wanker of the Holiday Weekend coming up in just a minute. But
let's get something away!
877-881-1053. Caller number 9 or 10.
It's
just today.
Okay.
We'll win a pair of tickets to go see Stick Figure at the Dos Equis Pavilion on June 27th. Of course, you can go buy tickets or you can win them for free right now. 877-881-1053. Caller 9 or 10 today because of the holiday. And we'll be doing this giveaway all week long. Now. Holiday Wanker of the Holiday Weekend. I want to start with Texas A&M, unfortunately.
What did they do this time?
Well, it's what they didn't do. And the writing was on the wall about this for a few days. Texas A&M became the first baseball preseason number one team to miss the NCAA tournament entirely since 1991. And you're like, whoa, that's a long time. Of course, not to be outdone, we already talked about the softball team,
yeah,
which became the first number one overall seed to not even make it out of their regional ever. So,
y'all were both number one overall ranked teams?
At different points.
Okay.
When the season ended, A&M in softball was number one. And they're like, nah, we'll just stay in College Station and we won't even finish that first round. Meanwhile, Texas Tech, for the first time ever, made the softball World Series. And Texas is back. And Oklahoma is trying to win like their 17,000th title in a row, or fifth. And then Texas A&M baseball was number one at the beginning of the year. And it fell off a cliff pretty quickly.
I wonder if we can have a catchphrase for this segment, Kevin. Like if there could be a good catchphrase.
They aggied it.
Yeah, but it's Wanker of the Weekend, so sure. Maybe a little bit different word.
I'm not sure what you're getting at.
Can I say it on air?
I don't know. I really don't know where you're going with this.
Well, Alec is currently on the phone, so yeah. I don't want to have to dump myself.
So
like you did.
Oh. From the 214, Blake is the Wanker of the Weekend since he forgot he had to work yesterday.
Oh, no. That really happened?
I did not totally know that, yeah, although I will say I have also been the victim of Blake forgetting that he was going to do something that he said he would do.
Kevin, I'm sorry about your A&M people. That being said, they were supposed to be good before the season because they brought so many of those players back.
Yeah.
It was just the coach was the situation,
I guess. Yeah, but the only reason you got all those players back is because they hired the coach that everybody wanted.
And yeah. Maybe he wasn't a good coach.
Yeah. Hey, look.
Compared to the other guy.
I'll tell you this. Unlike many A&M fans, I have reasonable expectations for my sports team. Do I sometimes get too hyped up not knowing that we're going to do what we do? Yeah, that's fair.
Sorry about that for you, man. That's definitely a tough one, especially since I know your huge passion for A&M softball.
That's right. They were number one in the country. Whatever. All right, let's go to the Premier League. This one is not a joking matter and is pretty stunning that nearly 50 people were injured at the Liverpool Premier League parade because they won the English Premier League. And nearly 50 people were injured after a man drove his car into the crowd. Now, unlike the situation that happened a few months ago, the government there has said they do not believe this was a terrorism thing, but the person who is driving the car, it looks like charges of attempted murder are going to be brought up.
Dude, that is...
it's terrifying, right?
You know, I mean, yeah, we were just down in New Orleans.
Yep.
And everything we saw there...
for sure.
It stinks. And I don't know the other backstory on this, like what his decision was, or was it an accident?
So yeah,
they're saying it wasn't terroristic attack. Was it an accident or was it just isolated is what they're saying?
I mean, that's a whole lot of accident. But so 27 people went to the hospital, including two kids.
Oh, man.
And they were categorized as having serious injuries. Like I imagine, usually if you're going to go to the hospital, it's probably pretty scary. I feel like as of now, no one has died and it's looking like that will remain the case. But that is still really, really terrifying.
For sure, for sure.
All right, let's go to cut number 17. It's not this driver, but do some Indianapolis 500 drivers need to be wankers of the weekend?
And the caution is out. Caution is out. Pelot will win for validation, vindication for Alex Pelot. He has won the Indianapolis 500.
So Alex Pelot, or Pillow, if you're more casual, did in fact win the Indianapolis 500. Here's where it gets tricky, though. Do you know who was the runner-up? Because at first, it was Marcus Ericsson.
Jeff Gordon.
That's not... no, it was not Jeff Gordon for a variety of reasons. Who did you say?
I said Kyle Busch.
No, it was not Kyle Busch.
Jimmy Johnson.
It wasn't the Green Hornet or Lightning McQueen or Brave whatever digger. You're going to say after that. So Marcus Ericsson was the runner-up.
Of course.
Until...
that was our next guess.
There's no way in hell that was going to be your guess.
You didn't give us the time that we needed.
Okay. All right. You know what? Tell me who the runner-up was.
I mean, we went through our first three options.
Okay, well, tell me who the runner-up that I just said
was.
We're
going to say Marcus Erickson.
Okay.
Is who we were
I really
say.
Thought there was a chance you did not remember that.
That was
already,
the next one on our list. I just told you that was the name on our list.
All right. Well.
Ricky Bobby.
He was. That's not even the right. Okay. Never mind. He was dropped to 31st after they inspected the cars, and it was found that he had, as well as another driver, had unapproved modifications, there we go, in the post-race inspection that could have helped their aerodynamic efficiency. I know we're always looking to improve our aerodynamic efficiency,
right?
But in the race car world, you have to follow certain rules.
I learned in Cool Runnings, you can just put weights in the front of your bobsled, and that makes you go faster.
That's right.
Wasn't that shown that like most of that is not really the way that happened at all? But that's
don't worry
fine
about that.
Because when you see a movie like Cool Runnings, you're thinking I might not be the most factually accurate thing I've ever seen. When you watch Braveheart for the first time and you're like, oh my God, most of this stuff
had
didn't happen.
Yeah.
Then it kind of changes your perspective. All right. So he went from second
to
31st. And then the dude, Kyle Kirkwood, who finished sixth, went to 32nd. Are they the wankers of the weekend for they were both at the top?
Oh, they were both the cheaters? It was those are the
two
guys?
Both cheated.
Yeah, see, I thought Danica Patrick would be involved in that.
I don't.
Yeah, I mean, you can't cheat, dude.
When's the last time she was relevant in racing?
You can't cheat, Kevin. That's the point, is you're not supposed to do those things. Mm-hmm. When they do stuff like this, I often am like, did they think they were going to defeat the inspection?
Yes.
Like they thought, you know what? Nobody's going to inspect this.
Yeah.
Why would they? You just need to play it right. Why are you trying to cheat like that? This was in the Monaco one.
This is at the Indianapolis 500.
Those are two different events.
Yes, they are. I feel like this one is very well known. Well,
obviously, I was thinking Monaco. That's why I was saying all those wrong names.
No, Danica Patrick wasn't winning in Monaco.
Ricky Bobby
is a fictitious character.
You don't know that wasn't the case. Did you pay attention to the Monaco race?
Yeah, they didn't win. As long as you don't have any follow-up questions. All right. I said as long as you don't have any follow-up questions. Now let's talk about the Indianapolis 500. How many people do you think watch this thing?
I'm going to say 12 million.
Okay. Alec?
I was going to say 15.
Ooh. 7 million people.
Ooh.
But.
I was closer, but I went over.
I thought this race was a little bit more popular, I guess. 7 million people watched it, which is the most in 17 years, which I was really impressed. But then it was up 40% from last year. Then I remembered the Kentucky Derby was watched by like 20 million people in America.
Really?
So you're telling me the Kentucky Derby is about three times as popular as the Indianapolis 500?
That is like because of the horse racing.
Do you think it's because you only have to invest a few minutes?
Maybe so.
You can invest.
Do they just measure that 2 minutes? Is that what they measure, or do they measure the whole thing?
I think it was the whole thing, and they talked about when it peaked, like during the actual race.
Okay.
Which is always weird when they're like, hey, coverage peaked during the race. And you're like, yeah, that makes sense.
What about the Monaco Grand Prix, though? Do you know what the ratings were of that?
I do not have.
Did you see the
viewership number for that?
I bet Broadus knows. Did you see the ships, the yachts? Have you seen the graphic on that?
I have
all
not.
All the yachts like that completely filled the bay, but then there were 5,000 other yachts floating out in the little ocean area just outside of the bay, just waiting, like hoping that they could get in. That's how, dude, that thing is so intense, and everybody brings their yachts.
Okay. I was not aware. I'll have to look. Last year, it was a big hit. 1.9 million people watched it. And it was that was the third highest.
That's because everybody's on their yachts there.
F1 race in the history of America.
The third highest?
Highest rated was 1.9. But Brad Pitt's coming out with that movie. So maybe that'll increase the popularity even another level.
What's it called?
F1.
It's going to be a good one.
It really worked.
Watch Ford versus
title.
Ferrari, dude. That's one of my favorite movies.
Now, we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week. I'm really sad about that. What have you heard about the new enhanced games? So there's
the performance enhancing drugs, and you can go out there and just play.
So they're going to have Olympic style sports, and their first competition is next May. So in a year in Vegas. and they're outright encouraging PED usage, testosterone, growth hormone.
Let's see what humans are really capable of.
That actually, you know what? That is actually not that far off from Aaron D'Souza, who's the company's founder and president. This is an actual quote that I swear I didn't make up. I really need to stress that because you're going to think I did. Quote, "We are here to move humanity forward. The old rules didn't just hold back athletes. They have held back humanity."
Wow.
That's a real quote that I swear I did not change.
Because we could be bigger and stronger and faster.
True.
And we don't know. So here's the thing. For the time being, I'm perfectly okay with this version and the version we have of sports, where they're like, the rules are you can't take these drugs. Mm-hmm. They hope that they level the playing field by doing that, right?
Yeah.
With this one, they're saying we're leveling the playing field by giving everybody the opportunity to do them anyway.
Okay. I take roids now.
Well, yeah, and that being the case, I hope this thing is relatively successful. Like, I really do. But that we see the real results of some of the performance-enhancing drugs and kind of get that out there all along the way. Because if you're just out there going, hey, man, look at how flashy and shiny this is, and you don't put out the other parts of it, that's not the reality of it.
Yeah, no, you're right. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Guys, the top 50 barbecue joints in DFW in Texas has been listed.
We're doing all of them?
Not all 50. We'll get to it next on The Fan, though.